Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. We're going to be talking about a subject that is near and dear to most of us. And what is that subject? Well, it's green and it's called money. Why is it important? Well, let's face it. The value of the dollar has gone down in the United States, and we have experienced some very, very difficult times. Some people call it a recession. Some people call it a depression, and we're still in it. But I got news for you. We're going to be telling you today how if you're feeling depressed about what the economic situation is, if you're going through challenges, my guest today, Ted Hunter, has some insights that I think are really going to make you aware you don't have to stay stuck where you don't want to be. Hi, Ted. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna. Thanks for having me.
You know, your book is titled Money Smart, How to Spend, Save, Eliminate Debt, and Achieve Financial Freedom. Now, there's a plethora of books out there, but I want my audience to know a little bit about you because you've gone through severe ups and downs, not unlike the economy that the United States is experiencing right now. In fact, it was over 30 years ago that you co-founded a real estate company, and it was a real estate brokerage company. You ended up with a staff that was, well, pretty good size, about 100 agents, maybe a little bit more than that. You became a multimillionaire, and then you went completely bankrupt in the real estate crash of the 1980s, and it made you decide that you had wanted to figure out the whys and hows of that involvement, and by golly, you then went into the stock brokerage environment, and you became an advisor. You've made people a lot of money, and when the market started to hit the skids in 2000, you told them to get out, sell their stocks, and you came out ahead, they came out ahead. Ted, what's the magic bullet here, if there is really one? I don't believe in magic bullets, but someone might be listening to me talking about what you've accomplished and said, wow, well, where did you get this? Did you get an insider tip? What happened? Talk to us, Ted, about why you were successful.
You know, I'd learned a lot by the time I went bankrupt, but the going bankrupt was a final lesson because I had bought into a very, very bad idea, which we'll be talking about, which is always invest for the long run. And naively and stupidly buying into that idea, all the experience and all the skills and all the success I had went down the drain because I bought into it. But it was really a good day. I'm not being a Pollyanna. It was a really good day because it was that day that I understood that, if you will, final key concept from the real world. And ever since then, I've called all the major moves on the money. I mean, I made the decision to go back, go into Wall Street Christmas of 1990. Couldn't have been a better place than the last 100 years to go build myself back up, which I did. Christmas of 99, you said the market was starting to do something. No, when I told everybody to get out, the market was fabulous. Everybody was thrilled. And Christmas of 99, I called all my clients and says, you're out. We're out. I'm out. I'm selling my business. Get out. Go to real estate and fixed income. You'll do very well. Get out of the stock market. You won't make a penny there for years. And that was Christmas of 99. The Dow was about 11.8. Today it's about 11.1. And then take away inflation, you've lost 30, 40% of your money, good 30%. And I had them go to real estate. And then fall of 2005, it was another no-brainer. And I'll come to why they're no-brainers in a second. And I told everybody, get out of real estate. I put my real estate holdings on the market Christmas 2005, sold them at peak of market, spring of 2006, went to fixed income. I've just made my fifth ever call in 21 years, and on June 11th, or June 16th actually, I told people, get out of the stock market, which is my position right now. You should not be in it. The risks are too high. But so that's kind of the how it happened, but how it really happened is not quite that way. When I was 9 years old, my father, I was a little businessman. I had a paper route. I was cutting five loons. I started to sell potholders I made door to door. And my father sat me down and did something that I think people would think is cruel. And I'll tell you what, I didn't know any better, and I did it, and he did me an enormous favor. He said to me, he said, from now on, I'll feed you, I'll put a roof over your head. You want anything, you go make the money. He says, and I'm not talking bikes. He says, you want underwear, socks, you go make the money. And my father wasn't kidding. And I did it. And I got my head handed to me so many times before I was 17, I don't want to tell you. I made so many mistakes. I have so much blood on my hands, if you will. But you know what? And this is the first principle I want to throw out to everybody. The only way you're going to learn about money is in the real world. Nowhere else. Mm-hmm. You will not learn it from a book. And the only way you're going to learn it from others is if they were successful in the real world. And what happened was we had a system for money management that worked for the people that knew what they were doing, used common sense. And what happened when the pensions started to get eliminated and people had to fend for their own future, and we went from zero to 70 million 401ks, the financial services industry exploded. It exploded to solve the problem. And it has turned out to be the greatest ripoff in American history. They have decimated the middle class. And today we're going to talk about that, and I will give you information you cannot refute. There are monster studies that document this, that the average American, 80% of Americans haven't made a penny in the stock market ever, on average, in 25 years. And I'm talking studies you cannot dispute, major Harvard-led studies, major resource studies. And so what am I? I'm somebody who's learned in the real world. And I will tell you, I'm not alone. The reason nobody's ever heard of me is because people who know how to make money go make money. They don't tell people, other people about it. Maybe their family, maybe their friends. They don't tell anybody. And instead what we have is a whole generation of alleged experts, and I'll give some great examples of this in the minutes to come, who are not competent. They're competent in making sure they make a lot of money, but they're a disaster. So, you know, in answer to your question to where this all came from, it came from the real world. I'm 71 years old. I've been doing this in the real world, building companies and being in business and doing things for 62 years. And I've made a lot of mistakes, ladies and gentlemen. That's the way it is. Mm-hmm. But you do learn, hopefully, if you've got a half a brain, and hopefully, eventually I did. Just like getting my money back, I got it back.
Yes, you did, Ted. And there are many successful people that have gone through the ups and downs like this.
Yep.
One of the factors that I hear many people discussing, in fact, I was visiting some very dear friends. This was a week ago, about a week ago. And they had planned, they had saved, they had their stocks, they had everything in place, and when stuff really started hitting the skids, I know my friend told me, she said, we had planned everything out, we had conserved, we had done everything, and she said, now, we're lucky if we do anything at all. We can't travel, we can't do anything, because we lost a good 50%+ of what we thought we were going to be able to live on. And I have heard this story from many, many, many people. And it is a very sad statement about certain protocols that have been enforced and supposedly guaranteed. We're hearing a lot of conversation today. What would you say to someone that is in their 60s, that doesn't have anything, that because they've lost it all and they're having to start over? What would you say to someone that's in their 20s starting out and in between? Give us those, let's make it three phases, the young, the middle age, and let's say someone that's in their 60s and older that says, my goodness, what am I going to do? I can't depend on government. How am I going to be able to take care of myself? What would you tell them?
Well, I'm going to start by telling all three the same thing to start. In other words, all three have to do the following, all of them. What you have to do is you have to understand the three huge, destructive, self-serving lies you've been sold. See them for what they are, know that they're not true, and leave the system that is now being used to manage money in this country. Leave it, the new system of the last 25 years. You know, they say that 90% of solving a problem is understanding the problem, where it came from, the cause of it. So I want to talk about the cause of it to start, because that's where everybody's got to start. I don't care if you're 20 or 40 or 60. I will tell you that people under 35, they get it. They get it. 72% of people under 35 will not invest in the stock market because they know something's wrong. They just don't know what to do. So we'll get to what to do, but first I want to get to what the problem is. You've been sold three myths, and you bought it, and you bought yourself into a fourth. But let's go with the first you've been sold. The first one you've been sold is that money management is very complicated. Well, frankly, it's not. I don't know if we'll have time today, but I can teach anyone, high school dropout, how to invest in the stock market far more successfully than the experts. I can do it in under 10 minutes. So if you're telling me, I'm taking one of the most complicated subjects, and I'm telling you, no, it's not. None of it is. It's just a little bit of detail. None of it is. But the financial services industry has gone out of its way to make real sure that you believe it's really complicated. You better have a special aptitude for it. You better read a lot of books. You better know a lot of things. This is very complicated. No, it's not. You see, if I can convince you that it's complicated, what do you think happens? You have to rely on me to decide what happens to your money. And I'm sorry, the minute you put the decision for your money in someone else's hands, be it a stockbroker, a financial advisor, an insurance, I don't care who it is, you're in trouble. You're in big trouble, and that's what's happened. So number one, it's not complicated. The way you can do this, if you like, I have a site. It's free. Go there and start learning. It's called MoneySmartOnline.com. It's free. Just start reading about this thing. How do you invest? How do you save money? How do you save tremendous amount of money when you spend your money? It's not complicated. That's number one. Number two myth, that the experts can do it better. The experts are a disaster. Let me tell you, is it okay if I talk about two studies here for a moment?
Sure, go right ahead.
On my site, go there, moneysmartonline.com. Go to the section where I give my advice on the stock market. And at the end of that section are four links you can click on. One link is to study number one. One link is study number two. You don't have to do that. The other two links, you can if you want to. The other two links are articles on each of those studies. When you finish reading that 12 to 14 minutes worth of reading, you will know that what I just said is not an exaggeration. But I will tell you a little bit about them. The first study was led by a team of professors from the Harvard Business School. And involved teams from four or five major organizations. It was considered the study of the decade. It was massive. They studied trillions of dollars. The financial services industry provided the data, confident it would be a great marketing tool for them to show their clients what a good job they were doing. When they saw the results of that study were such a disaster, they buried it. That's why you haven't seen about it, heard about it. But it's on my site, and here we go. And here's the results. First, that the professional financial advisors of America underperform the stock markets. Second, that the financial advisors of America underperform those people that do it by themselves. And third, that the people who do it by themselves get over twice the return of the people that use an advisor. Imagine how shocked they were when that came out.
You know, that reminds me of something, Tom. I remember a survey that was done on groups of women that were trying to learn about money, and they would meet, let's say, in their homes, and it was like a club, a financial club. Yeah, they were just doing fabulously, and these were women that weren't working with a whole bunch of money, maybe a few hundred dollars, but they would talk about things and evaluate information, and their success rate was phenomenal.
Yes. Now, let me get to the second study, because this is the one that is that's heavy. And again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you how to solve it. All these things are solvable going forward. And the detailed information is on the site. If you really want to know the whole picture, I've got a book that just won a national award, the best personal financial book of the year. You can get that if you wish, but the information's there. Start with the free stuff. All right, here's study number two. Study number two is done by the Dalbar Corporation. The Dalbar Corporation is the leading research organization in the United States for the financial services industry. And here is what Dalbar did. They studied a 20-year period, 1984 to 2004. 1984 to 2004 was the greatest moment in stock market history. It was unbelievable. unbelievable. To give you an idea how unbelievable it was, if for every $10,000 that you put in the stock market, if you put in the S&P 500 index, the market, if you will, for every $10,000 you put into the market in 1984, 20 years later, you would have had 1,000% on your money. Mm. You'd have $101,900. Unbelievable.
Wow.
Yes. It was incredible. Now, that's the wow, but here comes the stomach churner. The majority of Americans, by following the advice of the financial professionals, by jumping from one hot fund to another, the average number, 80% of Americans made on their $10,000. Did their $10,000 become $100,900? No, they made $2,700. They made nothing. Nothing. This is indisputable information. It's shocking information, and it's true. Everybody's walking around thinking that they missed the boat. Oh, you know, I guess I did the wrong thing, but other people made out. Well, yeah, 10%, 15% of the people made out. Just great, thank you. I was one of them. I know. But 80% plus, that's, I'm just explaining to you the following piece of information. Question. Why is it that over 10 million baby boomers can't retire? You just heard why.
Mm-hmm.
They never made me money. Now,
that's right. That's exactly what happened to my friends.
It's the norm. I'm going to speak to each of you again. So many of you are sitting there thinking that you didn't make out, but everybody else did. The other wonderful game that gets played by this industry, I love it, is you don't do well, right? Let's say it's 3, 4, 5 years you don't do well. So you answer the ad or the call or whatever, or you get introduced to another financial advisor who says, yeah, I know they screwed up, but we really do great. We'll take care of you. We're not like them. It's musical chairs, ladies and gentlemen. It's just musical chairs. You know, I ask you this question. I want to hammer home this point, because before we get to the solution, unless you truly understand and embrace what I'm telling you, you're not going to change. You're not going to change. The system that's failed you will continue to fail you. So here's one more question for you about the experts. Would you let somebody drill your teeth if you had no proof that they knew what they were doing? Would you?
No.
Donna,
nobody
would you?
In their right mind would.
It's a ridiculous question, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Would you let somebody fix your car if you had no proof that they knew what they were doing? Or rewire electricity in your house? Of course not. Here's my question to everybody. Have you ever seen the track record, like a 10-year track record against the stock market, of anybody, except maybe Warren Buffett? Take every, I'm not going to name names, take all the major names, all the alleged major national financial experts. There isn't a single one that has shown you their 10-year track record. I've shown my 20-year track record, but the point is, not a one. You don't have a, I'm going to challenge you. Your financial advisor has never showed you that. Oh, maybe they showed you a piece of it. Look how well we did in the last 3 years. Or look how well we did on these stocks. Or look how well I did on this. No, the complete record. You also don't see the complete record for their firm. And the reason you don't is a disaster. And the reason it's a disaster is because the people aren't interested. They're just getting their cut. The thing operates like a casino. Let me tell you about a story of the day I entered it. I entered the Wall Street. Christmas of 1990. I'm 50. I'm a hard-nosed businessman. I've built multiple companies. I've been there and back, and I'm glad back to get my money back. And I know what I'm doing about investing. By the third day, the teacher had to pull me aside at the break. And I liked the teacher a lot. His name was John. And he said, Ted, look, you can't ask questions about investing. Please. We don't teach investing. You know what we're doing. It's just we teach you not to invest. Just sell what we tell you to sell. He said, but no problem, Ted. It's on the breaks. We're on the breaks. I'll talk to you about investing. And then I saw two things. First, I talked to him on a break or two, and it was like, are you kidding me? He had never a clue how to invest money. Never did. No track record, no ability, no knowledge. And then I watched what they did to that whole class of young people. They're mostly in their 20s. If any of them dared to ask a question about investing or making investment decisions, they were slapped down. Sell what we tell you to sell, you make a lot of money. Sell what we tell you to sell. I remember him making fun of one kid in the class who kept asking. He said, now, Bobby, don't be an analyst. Don't be an analyst. I'm giving you the inside truth. And as soon as I saw that, I stayed with that firm, got my training in about a year, went off and did my own thing and made everybody a lot of money. But number one, it ain't complicated. I promise you, it's simple. The book I wrote is in simple English. I don't care if your high school dropout covers everything from stock investing to spending and saving money, paying for an education, achieving financial freedom, all of it. Second is, like I said, the experts are worse. You must do your own decision-making completely, and it's simple, and I can show you how. And the third is the one I fell into. Do not always invest for the long run. There, are, if you, on my site, I believe, and I certainly have it in the book, and you can go Google it and get it, the Kay Schiller charts on the Internet, Google Kay Schiller, and you're going to see that all markets go through long periods of dramatic over and underpricing. You know, it's so simple. Take the housing market. Go pull the 180, there's an 80-year chart of the housing market compared to family income and the cost to build a house. Case Schiller, C-A-S-C-A-S-E-S-H-I-L-E-L-E-R. And just look at that chart and drop your mouth. Because what happened in the chart shows that the price of a house tracked for 80 years people's incomes and the cost to build a house. And in Chris, right around 2000, the line to buy a house, the cost of a house, went straight up. It was just an absolute no-brainer. That's when I called people in 2005. There was no discussion. Run. Now, I ask you, did you ever hear a single national expert ever tell you the following? Well, it's not a good time to buy a house? Maybe they're telling it to you now, last year or two. Did they ever tell it to you in 2005, 2006, 2007, when it was guaranteed 10 to 15 million families would lose their homes? Did you ever have a single financial expert tell you to get out of the stock market in 2000 or 2001 when it was just such a no-brainer? You had a market at 80% overpriced, a NASDAQ 130% overpriced. Not a single person. They don't know what they're doing. They're going to tell you to invest for the long run. So, all right, I want to finish here, Don, and draw a line. That's the problem. And what we're telling you is reject the current system, go back to common sense, and you'll do just fine starting tomorrow morning. So if you want, Donna, we can go on to some suggestions as to what to do.
I would agree. Now, one of the things I wanted to comment on, Ted, is your statement in your book that money is a means to an end. It's not an end in itself. And that we to understand that every expenditure that we make is a trade, and you're going to have to give up something else to acquire what you want. And you give an example, and I'm quoting from your book, if you buy another watch, that money will not be available to save towards your next car. And one of the things I feel that is really, really tough, I can remember years ago when I would put money in envelopes, and I'd say, we do this, we do this, we do this, we do this, and this is going to go into this, and this is going to go into this. You really, at least I remember when I started off doing that, I knew exactly where everything was going. And to save money, it often was just very tiny amounts that I was able to save because my income wasn't that much. We've gotten so far away from this, and I know one of the comments that you have in here, and you have 9 rules of money, which I think are very good, but one of your comments is not to sell ourselves short and to realize that we can take charge and you can do things incrementally. And your 9 rules, the first one is have a positive attitude. The second one is be disciplined. I don't know why the big D is so hard. The word discipline has become a dirty word, it seems like, in everyday conversation. Not with successful people because they understand it takes discipline to accomplish whatever you want on any level. But it's something, I agree with you, I think this gratification, instead of saying, look, we're not in a position to do something at this time. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. And people say, oh, well, you can't do that. We've got to keep up appearances. Who cares? I mean, this is something that you have to make a choice about. But I really like rule number 3. It isn't how much you make, but what you do with it that counts. Let's go into that because we have a lot of people today that are hurting. Some of them are unemployed. Some have gone from very high-paying jobs into a very low, moderate, maybe, income level. They've had to make adjustments, and instead of sitting in their pity pot of, oh, woe is me, let's share with them what they can do so that they can realize that the American dream of financial independence can be attained at any age?
Well, you know, you touched on so many points that I could take off on, but I'll lock in on the one you asked about. We'll go with that first. The first thing that you have to realize is you need to learn every reasonable trick to spend smart. Every reasonable piece of information to spend smart. And I'm not talking about these silly little money-saving tips like cut your dryer sheet in half. There are a number of steps that you can take that the average family, I think from, say, 3 or 4 or 5 different steps, can save $3,000 to $6,000 a year. And I can tell you, you save $3,000 to $6,000 a year for most people, that's changing the game. That begins to change the game rapidly. So let's talk about how you could do that. Now, I got to get rid of a little blockage that many people have. You'd be sitting there thinking, I know how to spend smart. Well, I respectfully disagree. I don't think you do know every angle. I personally, I'm a warrior, okay? And guess what? I don't know. I'll give you my favorite story. I'm the expert on real estate and investing and so on. I don't know these other things. So I went and the three years I put this book together, I went and picked the brains of an insider in each industry. And here's an example of my lack of knowledge. When I got around to talking to the insiders how to buy a car right, I found out that I had blown $300,000 over the last 30 years buying my cars wrong.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think I felt?
Yeah, that gives you a real good feeling, doesn't it?
Well, you know, there were two ways. I went two different reactions. One was, yeah, I was really upset, tell you the truth. And then, but you know, in the final analysis, I was also very thankful because I'd have blown another $300,000 going forward. And since that day, I buy my cars right. On my next car, I save $12,500 compared to what I would have spent. That's a lot of money. And by the way, it wasn't an expensive car. It was an Acura. It wasn't a cheap car, but it wasn't something really, wow, expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something you pay like $39 for. All right. So, here are some specific suggestions to save money. Let's start with cars. Unless you've got all the money in the world to burn, never buy a new car.
Right.
Just don't do it. You buy a car that's 1 to 2 years old, and you will save, on average, a couple of $1,000 a year over the life of that car, maybe more. You buy a car 1 to 2 years old, I challenge you to tell the difference between that and a new car. It comes with its warranties. You can do a license check, a background check on the internet for $20 or whatever. You know it hasn't been in an accident. That's what I did. When I wanted to buy the Acura, the new Acura, even though I'm a good negotiator, would have cost me about $38,000, $39,000. I found one 24 months old, leased back. I swear to you, this car had new leather, new car smell in it yet. They didn't spray it. The seats had never really been sat in. It was a business lease for 2 years. It's pristine, perfectly new. I've now owned it for 16 months, and I'm telling you, if I took it through the car wash and drove it past you, you would go, brand new car. Okay? It had 17,000 miles on it. What was the difference? The difference was I paid $12,500 less for the car. That was the difference. And I've had the car for 16, 17 months. I've given it 3 oil changes, and I haven't put a penny into it. When I took it to my crack guy that really knows cars to evaluate it, because you always get an other than new car looked at, he kind of laughed at me as my friend, but he said, Ted, we're wasting our time. It's a brand new car, but I'll check it out. And then he checked it out, and he says, yeah, it's like new. So step one, don't buy new cars. Step two, you really should... Well, I don't cover the details on the site enough. Some I do, but in the book I cover how to buy a car right. There's a lot of tricks. Boy, there's a lot of tricks. But I start with the site, read what I have on there. It's more than just what I said. For example, let's say with cars for a second. The car salesman, when I talk to an audience, I ask a question, and I always get the answer I expect to get. So I won't tease you. I'll just run you through it. I say, okay, the car salesman walks up to you, and he looks at you and he sees a commission, right? And the audience goes, right. And I go, wrong. The salesman sees 4 commissions. 4. Just so you know it, the commission on selling you that car is 1/4 of the income he's after and 1/3 of the income he expects to get. So what's the things you don't want? And the others you don't want. You just flat out don't want. Under no circumstances whatsoever, go out looking for a car before you line up your financing. Don't ever finance through a dealer. Don't ever finance through a dealer.
Ted, I want to stop here. We're going to take a break. Will you stay with us for another quarter hour?
Sure.
Wonderful.
Sure.
This is Donna Sebo. My guest today is Ted Hunter. Money Smart is his book. He's discussing about how you can save money. When we come back, we're going to touch on some other things as well. But I'll tell you, this is a book you should have in your library, because if you are feeling like you're not going to go anywhere, that you're stuck and you're going to stay in a financial hole that you'd never get out of, you need to know this man's story. And we'll come back in just a minute. Donna Sebo here. Don't go away. More good information coming. Ted, well, don't go anywhere either,
no,
because we're going to come back and talk some more with you. Donna Sebo, we'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Ted Hunter is my guest. His book is Money Smart. We're going to be talking a little bit about investing. He's been talking about how you can definitely go and save money buying a car. Check out his website. Write this down, moneysmartonline.com, moneysmartonline.com. Now, he's got his 9 rules, but I'm going to go into rule number 6 for just a split second. It's living below your means, and 7 is don't let other people decide how you spend your money, and do not trade away what matters most for money. He has some other rules, and there's just so much here that is very direct, to the point, and very simple. So we've sort of touched on those rules, but let's go into a subject matter that every day you're going to hear talked about on the news. They talk about Wall Street, and I get so bored with it because it's, to me, it is in many, many ways, it is a game of all of these numbers that has a complexity to it that, as you said right at the beginning of the show, mm-hmm, it is an illusion that it creates a sense of being complicated when it really, really shouldn't be complicated. Now, my husband and I were at a meeting, Ted, this is many years ago, and a young man who was a multi-millionaire had said that he had someone that worked with his family's finances, and they had worked with this person, but he said what they did, they would just go in once a year, they'd have a meeting, and they would go over the stocks because they had a mixed portfolio, it was diversified, which is a point that you bring out in the book, not to put all your eggs in one basket. But he said what we did was a review once a year. And they would look at the health of the company. They like to be able to invest in a stock that paid dividends. And they, he said we did it once a year. We would just go in once a year. And he did not suffer. He said, we have, in my family's history, we have never suffered major losses because we investigated certain things. You've heard Warren Buffett say, I don't invest in anything unless I understand the business. What's your take on this?
Well, that's one of the 10 rules of investing. Never invest in anything you don't understand. I think what I'd like to do is this. I told you that one of the three giant things that's been sold to you that's horribly untrue and has just devastated our middle class is that money management is very complicated. And I said I could teach you how to invest in the stock market in less than 10 minutes. So let's go. See if I can
all
do
right.
it in 5 minutes, okay?
All right, let's
see.
Here
you go. There's only three things you need to do, basically. One, you make the investment decisions. Absolutely nobody but you. That's simple, right? That's one down.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Next one. Do not invest in badly overpriced or very dangerous markets. You will only face those circumstances once every many years. It existed in 1999 and 2000 in the stock market. It exists today in the stock market. It existed in the housing market in 2005 and 2006. So I'm going to repeat that rule. Do not invest in badly overpriced and or dangerous situation markets. Don't do it. Now, how will you know when to do that? So on my advice, and I'm not perfect, but I'm better or best estimator than anybody you're going to run into. It's on my site for free. Just go there. It's free. I'll keep telling you when things are good or bad for each of the markets, real estate, housing, stocks, all of them, fixed income. It's all there. So there's rule number two, and here goes rule number three. When the time is right to invest in the stock market, and sometimes for big periods the stock market's great, and for big periods it's not. When the time is right to invest in the stock market, invest in just one thing. And if you don't invest 100% of your money in that one thing, do 90%. Invest in no load, that means no commission, broad-based index funds only.
Mm-hmm.
That investment, if you want to know what it is, you can Google it and start reading. You can call Vanguard or Fidelity and find out what they say. And by the way, before I go further, everybody should understand something. I have no vested interest. I don't manage people's money. You don't get people on the radio that are money experts aren't looking to manage your money, with rare exception. I don't. I'm just trying to help. So I don't get any money from that. I'm not connected with Vanguard or Fidelity in all the world. But they're the biggest fund companies. Call them up in 10 minutes to ask them to explain you broad-based index funds. Or Google the subject. Start reading. Or go to my site. I've got several 3-minute, 4-minute blog reads that explain things quite well. So all you got to do is do those. By the way, what are those index funds? They track the overall market. But let me tell you another way. Remember that $101,900 we talked about?
Right.
That's the index fund.
Mm-hmm.
They have no commissions. They have a cost of like 0.2% a year. You're never going to hear about them from 95% of all the alleged financial advisors and experts. And do you know why? They don't make any money from them. There's no commission.
Mm-hmm.
It's no good for them. It's
mm-hmm.
just good for you. So I've already done it. I think it took us 4 minutes, so I'll just recap it. Number one, you and only you. Number two, don't invest in badly overpriced or very dangerous markets. When you want to know where that's at, go to my site. It's there for free. And number three, for the stock market, when the time is right, index funds only, no commission, broad-based index funds only, you'll do well. You only have to make these changes every 5-10 years, probably. They're not common. So there you go. I'll give you one more rule, though. It's not about stock investing. Do not treat the stock market as the be-all and end-all they've pretended it is. It's not. Invest in other things. Invest in yourself. Start a business. Do not limit yourself to the stock market. And boy, they've done a wonderful job making people think it's the magic manna. Don't worry about it. You can spend all your money. It's okay. You can indulge yourself. You can buy the new car and the big house. Because, you know, that modest amount of money you put in the stock market, that's going to solve everything. No. So there you go. Do it yourself. Don't invest in dangerous or badly overpriced markets. When it's the stock market, do no load index funds only. We're done. And I don't care if you're, I don't care if I'm talking to a high school sophomore. That is very straightforward. Now you're going to go, my God, it can't be that simple. Oh, yeah? Oh, yes, it is. Now, I'll give you two quotes to back it up. The two greatest stock market investors in all of history, are Warren Buffett, and believe it or not, you may not know about him, Peter Lynch, who preceded Warren Buffett. Here's their quotes. These are quotes from them. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Warren Buffett, the best way to own common stocks is through an index fund. How clear is that? Peter Lynch, most investors would be better off in an index fund. Ladies and gentlemen, these are the two greatest, most successful investors in the stock market in the last 60, 70 years, and they're both telling you what I just told you, because frankly, it's a no-brainer. It is the only way to make money. This chasing these other things is insane. For those of you that know what Morningstar is, with their five-star rated funds, well, guess what? The latest study showed that of 236 five-star rated funds, only four were five rated after 10 years. It's a random illusion. Get out of it. So there you go, Donna. That's how to invest in the stock market.
It reminds me of a casino.
It is a casino.
Yeah, that's exactly what it reminds me of. And the house is going to work against you. Every once in a while, there will be those opportune situations for a select group of individuals. It may be very random, and everybody gets excited. But really work with money, and eliminating debt is the biggest thing. And that is something that people hear over and over and over again. And I like a sentence you have in your book. You say, every time you free up $100 towards debt reduction or savings, take a moment to smile because you are on your way. And you have got so many, many points of information regarding money. I think this should be taught in high schools. I just think that you've got so much good, solid information here that will give individuals, regardless of where they are at this moment, an opportunity to realize that they can take these baby steps and will actually see a method of being able to achieve what they want to achieve, which is financial independence, being able to live in a level that gives them financial freedom, where they don't have debt on their shoulders, where they feel like they're suffocating, and that there's so many things you can do if you're finding that certain things you're spending money on, it's not to your benefit, whack it out. Go and live underneath your means. This is in your book. It's something that wise people have stressed for I don't know how long.
Well, you know, they're talking general steps. Everybody should know the specifics are in there. You know, the exact specific steps to get out of debt are in there. The exact specific steps to do everything are in there. It's not hard. And the minute you embrace what works in the real world and always has, I promise you, you're on your way. Don't underestimate what you can do. The opportunities, I've seen that. I've seen people turn these things around so quick, and you can. Just mm-hmm. get rid of that insane system and start doing the common sense things, and you're going to be awful happy.
Oh,
you really
no
will.
Question about that. No question about that. Well, Ted, this has been wonderful. I'm so grateful that you were able to spend the extra time with me today. Our guest has been Ted Hunter. His book is Money Smart, How to Spend, Save, Eliminate Debt, and Achieve Financial Freedom. This is a man who walks the walk. He'll talk the talk, but his website, you need to write it down and perhaps make it as one of your favorites because you'll want to refer to it. You go to moneysmartonline.com, moneysmartonline.com. Why not take charge of where you are? And just as we discussed a moment ago, that $100, $10, $50, whatever it is that you put into a savings account or knock down a level of debt that you might have, look at it and just realize that you're taking a step towards financial independence, and you can start that right where you are, right now. It does make a difference, but it means that you take charge. And I think that's one of the biggest message that Ted Hunter gives, is take charge. Don't let other people say they can do it better for you. Have confidence in yourself. But go to his website, moneysmartonline.com. Ted Hunter, thank you again. I think your book, Money Smart, is just really succinct, to the point, and it's wonderful. It's just a great how-to book.
Thank you, and I just wish everybody well. This is my give back. I don't have a vested interest, and I promise you, the minute you start, the momentum will grab you. It'll grab you, whatever it is. Better investing, better debt reduction. Just do it. Take those first steps, okay?
I agree. Ted, thanks again. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Well, I don't know about you, but I think discussing money and learning how to work with money is something we all need to be alert to. And it was an absolute delight having Ted Hunter as a guest on the show, because this is a man that has no agendas. He doesn't have any hidden protocols or anything else. He's already independently wealthy, and he said this is his way of giving back. And he wants other people to be able to enjoy what he has come to enjoy. I mean, remember, he lost everything. He lost everything. Huge bankruptcy. Anybody that's ever gone through that just knows it is a hell of hells, because you just feel like you are marked with a black mark that's going to follow you for years and years and years, and there's a sense of shame. He bounced back. He said, I don't need to stay there. And that's what we need to remember. We are living in an environment today where fear seems to be the promotional item of the moment. If you will sit and listen to the news, if you will listen to all kinds of programs, I don't care what political affiliation you might have, everybody wants to control something. They think you're too stupid to think for yourself. I can't tell you how many times I've heard statements from people saying the average individual doesn't even have the brain power of a cow. They need to be told what to do. Well, I got news for you. You can prove them wrong. And you don't need to buy into that philosophy. How many generations have women been told that they just couldn't possibly, these little sweet things of fluff, possibly comprehend how to run a business? Over 52% of businesses now, entrepreneurial businesses, are driven by women. There are so many things we need to dump. A politician is not going, you don't want your politicians to manage your money for you. Look at what they've done. Do you think they have the common sense of a flea? I don't think so. So this information is viable for you. And it's something that you've heard me say on this program over and over again. Your mind belongs to you. You have a right to make decisions. You also have the right to make mistakes. We need to get out of a feeling of entitlement and realize that part of what has made America so great is that somebody could come from the worst situation, the most terrible environment, and make a life for themselves. Let me share a story with you. When we moved into the Pacific Northwest in 1980, As long as I live, I will never forget this story. There was a man who had been a multi-millionaire in Vietnam. With the war that was over there and just horrific things, he and his wife managed to escape with the clothes on their back. They had no money. They had to leave everything behind. They managed to come to the United States. They ended up here in the Pacific Northwest. The husband, who had been a very, very good businessman in his former country, goes to work for a baker. Now, he had to learn, one, how to speak English, which he fortunately had had a bit of a base in, but he had to learn that. He and his wife went to work for minimum wage at a bakery here in Tacoma, Washington. And at that time, when I was finding out about this information about this baker, he had already been working for this company, which was a good-sized company, that made bread, went out to all kinds of places, and they catered to company parties, etc. So they end up being offered the opportunity to buy the business. The man that owned the business had started it himself about 30 years before. Financially, he was going to do very well, but this Vietnamese man and wife, they had lived upstairs in a small room, didn't have a shower. They would bathe in cold water and soap. They lived on a lot of the products that came out of the bakery. They had no money. The baker went to them because they were such hardworking people. He said, "I don't know of anyone that I would rather have buy my company. I'd like to know if you'd like to buy it from me." What happened next absolutely flabbergasted the baker that this couple had been working for. They wanted to know the price of the bakery. He told them the price, and he said, "I'll work out a financial deal with you." This couple, who had been working there for, I think, about 6-7 years, living in this little tiny room on the upper level of the bakery, this couple had saved every penny they possibly could save. They gave this man a down payment in cash on that business. They took the business over. In 1980, when this man was interviewed, he said, "My wife and I had gone from tremendous wealth in the country that we had lived in." He said, "We wanted to come to the United States because we valued freedom, and we both felt we could attain our financial wealth again." And he said, "We lived in conditions that most people would think would be appalling, but we were grateful for it. We had food, we had shelter, and we were getting an income, and we were going to save it." They ended up becoming multimillionaires again. When you hear stories like this, people that have been willing to make a commitment to achieve what is necessary, it really should give heart to any one of us to realize that with due diligence, with earnestness, with integrity, with frugality, not being a cheap Scrooge, but really being frugal and thinking, you have a very good life. You have that opportunity in the United States. And we need to remember that that is a right we have earned. So we don't want to throw it away. And by you taking control of your mind and your attitudes, you're going to ensure future generations will have that same opportunity. I know we're out of time. Tomorrow, my guest is going to be Joanne DiMaggio. We're going to be talking about soul writing. Remember, always you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. Thank you so much for being with me today. Tomorrow we'll be chatting again, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.